Okay, after we learned about the transitional Tanaim slash Amoraim, perfect time.
Now we have to start all over.
After we learned Tekka Two Sheets.
I'm half man.
Is Alan his way in? You see him?
I don't know.
I didn't see him. Okay, after we learned about the transitional.
He went to meet and greet. his wife went to meet and greet.
After we learned about the transitional Amoraim and slash Tanoim slash Amoraim, and we saw really the elders of the generation in the land of Israel, Galil. So before we go into the Amoraim, and obviously the big event or the big advent of the Amoraim is when Rav, who learned by Rabbeinu HaKodesh, by Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, and then he goes back to Bavel and he founds the yeshiva in Surah and the whole thing, and that's an Amoraim son of Rabbi Shmuel. We first have to know a little bit about Bavel, what Babylonia was like, what the culture was like in Babylonia, what the people were like, and what this new fertile ground really becomes the main, because let's get it right. Jews were living in Babylonia from Churban Bayis Rishon, right? We know Golas Yechoniah, Yechoniah HaMelech, Melech Yehuda, was exiled in the year, what is it, 583 or whatever it is, right? Whatever the date is, but he was exiled by the Churban Bayis Rishon together with HaChorosh VaHamazgir. And the Chazal tell us, Chorosh VaHamazgir, together with all the Talmidei Chachamim and Daniel and all the Nevi'im and the Talmidei Chachamim, and they were exiled into Babel, into Babylonia. And they lived there for the last, we're going back now, for the last 700 years of living in Babylonia. Basically undeterred. There's no Romans and there's no wars and there's no destructions. Yeah, you have the Parthians, you know, took over first the Persians and the Parthians. Now, by the way, it's a different ruler. It's the Sasanians that take over Babylonia this time. It has some relevance to the Jews living there. But basically, they live, we're going to soon see, they live in their own little enclave, beautiful, fertile land. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael depends on rain. Babel doesn't depend on rain. Why not? Well, just looking at this map, you see, the part where the Jews settled in Babel is between the Chidekel and the Nahar Pros. Now look at there's two maps. There's the upper map that shows you the general area where it is. You see on the right hand side is the Tigris. On the left hand side is the Euphrates. You see city of Baghdad, which is on the Tigris River, right? You see Baghdad is on the Tigris River. So the river below that is Euphrates. You see that little pocket between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, with the north being Baghdad, and the bottom being, you know, where they come together. Might you see that little pocket? That is, the whole map on the left is that area in between. And that's where the Jews settled. All these little villages, all these little cities, and it weren't so little. Some of them were quite big cities. That's where the Jews settled. And you see, if you look in a big map, you'll see on the one hand there's the Nahar Chidekel. You see number 8? That's Zion, we're going to read the map. 8 Zion 8. You see Zion 8? That's where Nahar Chidekel is. Right? You see Zion 8 on the bottom. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's far away from where they lived.
What?
That's far away from where they lived.
From where who lived?
They started over here. This is Nahar Dov.
Correct.
So this is over here.
Correct.
This is the area.
Correct. But I'm just showing the area. I'm just showing you where this area is. Nahar Chidekel is the Tigris River.
Right.
And then on the left hand side is Nahar Pras. That's the Euphrates River. So this little area, I'm just showing you, Tigris, Euphrates, in the upper map, that's this area over here in between.
What's the scale? What's the distance between Pumbedisa and Nardam?
Between Nardam and Pumbedisa? Not so far. What is it? This is 10 kilometers each box. It's about 40-50 kilometers. 40-50 kilometers. It was a day's journey. It wasn't so much. Day's journey. Even less than that.
They move back and forth.
But anyway, before I'm not going to the cities, we'll discuss. We have all these 8 cities to discuss. It's fascinating.
This is the Fertile Crescent.
The Fertile Crescent. This is Mesopotamia.
Right.
And that's where the Jews settled. Why is it important? Because you look. On one hand, you have the Chidekel, which is the Tigris River. On the other hand, on the eastern side, on the western side, on the western side, you have the Euphrates River. But look at all these little rivers in between. The canals. between 3 and 7, and between 1 and 7, and between 2 and the Tigris River, Nahar Malka, Nahar Shenusa, Nahar Badis, Nahar Papa, all these Nahar Kucha, all these different canals. So, if you want to know why Chazal tell us that Eretz Yisrael is depending on the rain, because there's no rivers, there's no canals, there's nothing. You're depending on rain, because otherwise it's a dry land. And Babel, it's all fertile. It's a fertile area because the rivers flow over and the whole ground is very fertile. So obviously this was prime real estate for agriculture, right? That's what the Jews did at that time. They settled between those two rivers in Mesopotamia, in Babel, and they lived there for the last 700 years, undisturbed, undeterred. So Jews were living there for 700 years, clearly, and they were living there. And we're going to soon see who was in charge and how they had their own system of government just about. But now, if you want to look, by the way, on a more bigger scale, you know, that like we showed, between the Tigris River and the upper map, between the Tigris and Euphrates River, all this is part of common-day Iraq. On the right-hand side, you see Iran. You see Iran on the right-hand side? That Madai, Media, Shushan is over there. Shushan is part of Persia. Not part of Babel, part of Persia. Mishan is on the bottom. Elam is even more on the bottom. This area, that's where Babel is. On top, you see Adi Abin, all there on top. Adi Abin is what we call Hadayr, Helenia Malka. That's over there. That's Adi Abin. Then more to the left is Syria, Jordan. Israel is over here. Israel is right over here, right? If that's Syria and that's Jordan. You see all there on the left-hand side. On the western side, there's a little arrow, or there's a little break between Iraq and Jordan. So you go further into Jordan, you hit straight into Israel. So that's where Babel was, right? And that's where the Jews lived in that area in between. So they're living there for 700 years, undeterred, undisturbed, this terror, this flourishing, the Choresh and the Masgir, which means Talmidei Chachamim were there. They opened yeshivas, they were learning Torah, and we know they're going back and forth all the time. We had Hillel coming from Babel, and we had Yudah ben Beseirah in the Tzivin. By the way, you want to know where the Tzivin is? The Tzivin, where Rabbi Yudah ben Beseirah was a Rav, is in this upper map, I wrote it in myself, underneath of Mosul, right? Underneath Mosul, that's from Tzivin. It's not even on this map. This map is even more north. It's not even on the big map. That's the Tzivin was really out. It wasn't part of the Fertile Crescent. But you imagine how much the Jews expanded. And there's a pretty large area. That's where they lived.
This, the bigger map is Jewish neighborhoods and towns that were.
Correct.
In Babel. So the larger ones are necessarily large towns in Babel at the time, like big cities?
Very big cities.
Or only the ones that have big Jewish populations?
No, big cities. These are all Jewish. This one we're going to study it soon, and we'll analyze it, and you'll see this is just like Williamsburg, and Borough Park, and New York, and Flatbush. That's really the type of life they live. It was like a Jewish town. Narda had what? It had at least 600,000 people. The Gemara says it was the Shusha Rabin Doraisa. So it had a lot of people there, and it was a Jewish town. It was almost a completely Jewish town, Narda. They had the issue of problems. They had their own, you know, like their own things, like any big town city had. But there was a Jewish area. This whole area was a Jewish area. Now, let's not look at all the various cities, all the things. We're going to get to it and see how they travel and why they travel. But just a general overview, this is what we're talking about when we speak about Babel. So, number one on the sheet, very important, Rav Shchira Goyim himself was a Babylonian. He was from Babel. She's writing history, right? What happened in the place where he comes from. She says, Havidin, you should know. The Mikoro Kadgol Yisrael Begolus Yechonya. That when the Jews exiled in the time of Yechoniah, Vachorash Vamazgir, these are the time of the Chomin, the Kamen Nevi'im Emohem, Aisinu L'Nardo. The first place they went to was to Nardo. Nardo is number one on the sheet.
Border.
Over here, what was that?
On the border.
Well, it's not quite on the border. The real border, closest to Eretz Yisrael, most west, which is the closest to Israel, is really Pumpedisa. And a matter of fact, you see on the Gemara says, you see on the map, three Pumpedisa? Pumbedisa is more west. More west, it's closer to Israel.
More
north and more west.
No, but Pumbedisa was right where Syria is.
No, not at all. Look at Pumbedisa over here. You see why I wrote in the other map Pumbedisa? Pumbedisa crossed Baghdad. It's the most western part, closer to Israel. Oh. That's what Pumbedisa is. Matter of fact, if you want to change, turn to what's name a second. If you see... One second. If you see number two on the sheet, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kesel Hoye Mashin Mashuots. How would they wave, you know, in the beginning in order to tell people the torches to when Rosh Chodesh was? So they would light fires. So Mavin Kluntzus Lere, Zaruchin, they'll bring these big cloths of big sticks, Vekanin, Vatse Shemin, Vinarasha Pishton, all these material to light a fire. The Kerb and Mashiach of Eilarasha, you go to the top of the mountain, Umatze Benazor, you light the fire. Umoylech Umevu, Maila Moirid, you go up and down and sideways, Achigurash Chavelo, until he sees his friend. This is instead of instant messaging, you saw your friend on the other hilltop. On the other top of the mountain. By the way, when you go drive through Samaria, Shomron, you'll see that, you know, these big mountains, hilltops, you can literally traverse a tremendous area just by hilltops. Because everything is mountains and valleys. So literally from one mountain to another mountain, and you can go across hundreds of miles. And that's what it did. Until Joyce came to Rosh Hashani, became Rosh Hashlishim. I know you must see Meshuris, Mar Mishcha, the south of it, they started from Har Mishcha in Yerushalayim, and the south of the Gupinya, I know where these places are, the Gupin, the Chavon, the Chavon, the Beis Biltin, the Beis Biltin, the Zerba, the Melech, the Ache Roy, Kol HaGoyla, the Fon of Kemadur HaSesh. Until you saw the entire Gola. What's the Gola? The Gola is Babylonia. Look at Rashi, it's a Goyla. B'nei Bovel, Amshei, Pumpadiso. So the point in, you know, the most western point, which was the connecting point between Israel and Babel, was Pumpadisa. You look at this map, makes a lot of sense. Pumpadisa was the most western part from the entire Jewish crescent, from the Jewish fertile area, from where the Jews lived. Pumpadisa was the most western area. Once you saw Pumpadisa leak the fire, then you knew the entire Babel would know that it was Rosh Chodesh. So
there
clearly...
there were Jews strung out in between.
I suppose so. Or yes, it must have been. Even though you're literally going across Jordan, right? Yeah. That maybe went through north, I don't know how they did it. But Pumpadisa clearly was the most, western point, which was the most closest point to Eretz Yisrael. So the Haidon says, see, even though Pumbedisa was, but the oldest area was Nahardah. Nahardah is number one on the sheet. You see, it says over there, Nahardah, Shaf, V'Yosef. What does that mean? Nahardah, Shaf, V'Yosef.
Return. Yosef is return.
Yosef is to sit down. Shaf means to travel. Travel and sit down. Look, what does that mean? Famous Gemara. And Shri Rigoyin says, well, by the way, when did Shri Rigoyin live? You have your book? When did Shri Rigoyin live? Live in the year
800, 900? Yeah, almost 800.
So he wasn't so far removed, right? It was about 400-500 years in the same...
Worked way back for 1,000.
Same country, right? If she got a little to the year 700, whatever, it was from the early going, I believe.
Sure, towards the end.
The Gona?
Yeah. Towards the end.
Towards the end of what? The Gona period. Well, I ended the Gona period, right, in the
830s. Maybe it's later.
Just before
Haigon. Yeah, before.
Listen,
guy, before
Haigon. 800,
no? I think so, too. Okay. So. You'll find him.
I see
what's like. I've seen it in Nadal. So, they came to Nadal. Uvanu. Read what says the first line, number one. Uvanu Yechanya Melech Yehuda. Yechanya, the king of Judah, built Visayat and his group Beit Knishta. They built a shul. Viyazduha Ba'avonim Va'afo. And they built the shul from the stones and the dirt that they schlepped along from the Beis HaMikdash.
The
Kaim Alei
Mashnema,
what? In order to fulfill what it says, Kirotza Avadechas Anaveneo Vesafor Yechaynanu, that we love the servants, we also love the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. V'kariyu lahu beknishta, and they called the shul beknishta the Shaf v'Yosef ben Nahardah. That's the shul Shaf v'Yosef in Nahardah. Kolayma shenasa beis hamikdash, the beis hamikdash traveled v'Yashav kam, and it sat over here in the shul. Matter of fact, I read an eyewitness account from a traveler in the 1200s. He writes, and they took me to Nahardah, and I looked, and it was ruled in ruins already at that time. And I looked and I saw four walls standing, and they said, this is the old ancient shul. And he writes, and I noticed there are no stones or bricks over here, because it's all made from dirt, rather than from bricks and stones. It's made from the dirt, I guess plaster, whatever it was, from the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. And he looked and he recognized and he, you know, identified the shul in the year 1200 in Nahardah, Shaf v'Yosef.
Wasn't Daniel Shul also was a Nadav.
Get to that as well. Daniel Shul is also there. I think he brings it down. Was it Nadav Daniel Shul? No. Daniel Shul was not. Daniel Shul was in his town. And his town is not even on this map, because I couldn't find this map for some reason. But I saw it somewhere else. It's more east of Kever Yecheskel. It's more south and more east. It's actually not over there, the Neil Shul. There's another shul we're going to soon see over here in a minute, Hutzal. Look over there, the third line. Vavashchina imayin, and the Shechina would come along to the shul, kedamrinim imgila, bebovel eicha. Where's the Shechina found in Bovel? Ravom ebeknishta, the Hutzal, in the shul of Hutzal. Where's Hutzal? If you look right next to Nardah, number two is Hutzal. One is Nardah, number two, the little arrow there, Hutzal. That's the city of Hutzal, that's where the other shul was found. And the Gemara says, sometimes the Shechina was there, sometimes the Shechina was there. Then the Gemara says, Om Abaye. Abaye says, whenever I have a chance, I go down there. V'hada k'nishta d'hutzal, l'kroivri l'veis medrasha shel Ezra ha-Sofer, l'mata min adohi. Ezra ha-Sofer was in that shul, in Hutzal, and that's where the other shul was, where the Shechina was found. The Gemara says in Megillah, Chavtes Min Aleph, number 1a on the sheet, that Melamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavimon Min Ben HaGoliyos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went amongst the Shechina, came back to Bavel, where was it? Benikush Nehutzal, Benikush Nehavios Ben Adol. In both these shuls, in 1 and 2, in Hutzal and Adol, that's where the Shechina was found. So Yimara says, Vayte Mocha Vocha, Lezim Mocha, Lezim Mocha, Mabaye. The Abaye says, then when I have a chance, I go there. Avuha de Shmuel, this is our time period, in the year 200. Shmuel's father, and Levi. You remember Levi? Levi's the one who left Eretz Yisrael to come back to Bavel. Because he was basically thrown out, right? He didn't get the right position.
He became
Gal Hadar in Bavel, right? So Levi, Avu Shmuel's father Levi, have a Yasvi b'kineshna d'shavi Yasvi ben Adon. So once they're sitting in this shul in Ardor, remember, this is 700 years after the Churban Avayis. They're sitting in the shul, ask the Shechina. And sure enough, they heard the Shechina, Shamu Kol Yitzha, they heard a tremendous noise. Become of an upgrade. They got out of there as soon as they could. But you see that in they are saying a story, the Gemara is saying a story. Oh yeah, when Shmuel's father and Levi, which was only 200 years after the Gemara was written, so it's not, you know, the normal, today we say over stories from Chavetz Chaim, we say over stories from yes, Shmuel's father and Levi were once sitting in the shul in Nahadah, the shul which was built with the stones of Beis Mikdash, and they once heard that big noise, and they ran out because they realized that, you know, maybe Regesh, and they realized the Shechina was there. So it was a known thing. This was a shul which was used from the stones of Yerushalayim, the stones of Beis Hamikdash, and that's where the Shechina was found in Bavel. So these are not, you know, meaning we have accounts from accounts that people that were there and says, obviously, this is the shul, and this is the way it is, and this is where the Jews settled in. So this shul, Shafa Yasif, is from the older shul. We don't know where it is today, but clearly, this nowhere, is where the Jews live.
Nowhere we're going.
Nowhere we're going, exactly. This is, by the way, if you look in the small map, this is the heart of Iraq, literally. The heart of Iraq. You see where it is? Baghdad, and Pumbedisa, Hamadi, all these places, Najaf, Karbala. That's literally in the heart of Iraq. You don't get anybody who wants to go there, you know, anytime soon. But that's really where Bavel is. Now, people in Bavel were not just studious, there was learning, but there was a flourishing Jewish community. So much so, the Gemara says that number three, Omer Leila Rabbi Yochanan, told Rabbi Yochanan, which is what, 50 years later, Ikesabi beBavel, you know, there's some very old people. People live long lives in Bavel. People have it good, they live long lives. So he said, what do you mean? It says, Leman Yibu Yimech Mimevinechim Al Adomo Ksiv, Ava Chutzlar's life, you'll have a long life in Israel, not in Chutzlar's. How come in Bavel, the Zeichet have a long life? Said, no, Kivin Amrile, Mikad Mechashla Beknishta, Amra Hanid Anile. They told him, no, people are serious. There's a whole Yiddishkeit. They go early morning to shul, they stay late, they daven well. Now that, the Gemara says, they're very wealthy over there, and they give a lot of tzedakah. That's what it says, number 3a. Shebebobel, Bamayin Zeichin. How come there's Zeichin Bobel to have such wealth? Bishul Shebechabdin Mesatayla. Because they honor the Torah. So it was a not just Tamidei Chachamim were there, but even the regular people, the regular folk, they would come to shul every time, they would be Mechaber Torah. It was a real, you know, it was a real flourishing community. Something else, 3b, Amar Rava. Yigmar says, Mikol Amandam Rekes La Tveyu. There's a whole question, what the city Rekes, is it Tveria, is it not Tveria? Yigmar says, who says Rekes is not Tveria? Says Rava, V'haki Shachiv Inesh Hacha, when people die over here. Where's here? Rava. Where's here? In Babel, when people die in Babel, Hassam Savdilay. Then they take the body to Eretz Yisrael, to Tveria, because Tveria is still part of Eretz Yisrael, and they have a second Levi over there, and they have a Hesped over there. And they say, Gadolu B'sheshach, V'sam LeBerekas. And they say, look, he was great in Babylonia, and now he's over here in Tveria, in Eretz Yisrael. So I, if you look at me, I look at these things, I say, this is exactly Yiddishkeit's wealth, people mechabit tamid chachamim, people going to shul, people dying in Babel, transporting the body to Israel. This is like Barbach, Flatbush, Williamsburg. This is like the America, fertile land, there's wealth, there's plenty of jobs for everybody, it's a fertile crescent, it's good, people are wealthy, and people are serious about the Yiddishkeit. Yeah, obviously Babel is much more than America. Right? Igmar says they had Trumas and Maestras, they kept in Babel. Because it was so close to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, there's still shemits of where they were.
Of course, and they were near Eretz Yisrael, and the Shechina came, and the and Yechonya Melech Yehuda came, and the Nevi'im came over there, they established the Havdal Al-Havdal, clearly not America. But I'm saying is that, yes, Eretz Yisrael is, of course, the place, the base of Mikdash, and that's where the Torah, and that's where the Nesi'im were, and that's where the Tanaim were. But Babel, even before the Amorim came there, even before the Torah was transported to Babel, as being the center of the Torah in the world, it was a beautiful community. It was a well-to-do, beautiful, upstanding, serious, sincere. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a bad place. It wasn't like, you know, communist Russia the way we look today, or Europe or something like that. This was it. This was the place where all the good Jews lived, and all the wealthy Jews. And look, they got buried in Echbavo, and they buried him in Israel, and in Hesped and Tveria. Not much different than we have today. If you ask me, very similar.
And they spoke the same language.
They spoke the same language. Well, Babel was Aramaic, of course. Now that, but we'll see. I mean, that's later on. Because later on, it's really a major shift where the center of Torah gets transported to Babel, right? That we don't have today in America. America's wonderful, but it's not Eretz Yisrael.
But they don't have.
Right? But it's almost like Europe, probably. Like, when you never had Eretz Yisrael in Europe at the same time. The center. Now that Babel is the first place where they make tefillahs in English, basically. Aramaic, right? Kaddish, Aramaic. You can pour from Aramaic.
Right, right.
Why are they making tefillahs in Aramaic?
Yeah,
right? Obviously, that's the Babylonian influence. So it obviously surpasses, and a bubble has some Kedusha. We know that there's Trumas and Maaseh over there. It's obviously what you want. I'm just giving an analogy that we can relate to, that bubble, even before it became the center of Torah and of all the yeshivas. It was also this nice place near Eretz Yisrael, and it had all the Jews were good. Jews had their own autonomy. That all this entire area was packed with Jews. It was like almost a Jewish enclave. And the Parthians, the Babylonians, the Parthians over in charge, were very easy. They let everybody do their own thing. They were happy the Jews ran their own affairs. They now that, but in Babel they had an exilarch. Now people think Reish Galusa, the exilarch in Babel, the Reish Galusa, that's really Reish Galusa, the head of the Galus, right? The people think the Reish Galusa, oh yeah, only came into being, you know, in the 400s, 500s, when the Amorim were there. Not really true. According to many historians, the Reish Galusa went all the way through from Zerubbabel, right? Yechonia's, what is it, Yechonia's grandson, Zerubbabel and Shvatiel, all the Ben Achabel, all the
time of Ezra.
From the time of Ezra, which were from Malchus Beis David. And they were the Reish Galusas. And now that the Gemara says that Rebbe himself says that even though I'm the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, but there's one person I tip my hat off to, and that's the Reish Galusa in Babel. And look at the Gemara here, fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says in, where is the Gemara? Number 7b. You know, let's go straight over here. Number 7. The Shriyagain says, until Rebbe died, Bereish Galusa having a Higan Babel. They always had a Reish Galusa in Babel. Reish Galusa the exilarch. Now, this Reish Galusa wasn't just, you know, the head, but he had a palace and he had servants. When Sunsi the Gemara says he had servants, he had palace. Whatever Rebbe had or the Nesi'im had in Eretz Yisrael, the Reish Galusa was much more powerful and much more, you know, pompous and flamboyant, you know, much more outwardly as a form of Malchus. We never had a Nasi, that they did not have in Babel. The Anan, Rosh Sanhedrin, Beit Zol happened, because the head of the Sanhedrin was, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. So, Rosh Gedoyle Yisrael, meaning the Gadol Hador, did not live in Bavel. The Gadol Hador was clearly in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael. Who is that? The Nisim and the head of the Sanhedrin. That was only Eretz Yisrael. But you always had, V'havim Mikri Reish Sidra B'Bavel Reish Adrabonim, which means they were called not the Nazi or the Abbez, the head of the Sanhedrin, like we had in Eretz, but you had Reish Sidro, which was the head of the rabbis, the head rabbi, the chief rabbi of Bavel, was called the Reish Sidro, until Rabbi died, until, I'm telling you all, what Bavel looked like before it became the center of the Amorim, before it became the center of Torah, they still had the Reish Sidro, which was the Rav, the head, the chief rabbi of Bavel, and at the same time, they had the Reish Gelusa. The Reish Gelusa was the exilarch. So the Gemara says, Shri Gan brings down, Ubiyoimid the Rebbe, have a Rav Hunekama Reish Gelusa of Bavel. Even in Rebbe's times, they had a Reish Gelusa. Who is the Reish Gelusa? Rav Hunekama. Behind the Abrinon, and that's what the Gemara says, Bomene, the Gemara in Hurrius, Bomene Rebbe Merapriya, Goinamani, Besorim, Malay, Tsaros, Rebbe Bavel, Omon Rav Huda. In other words, he says, Lo Yasu Shevet Meyehuda. What does it mean, Lo Yasu Shevet Meyehuda? Elu Roshay Galio Shebabavel, Shereidin Es Yisrael B'Makel. Which means, the Reish Galusa in Bavel, he was so strong and powerful, he almost had, you know, capital punishment power. He was able to Reidin Es Yisrael B'Makel. He was able to subjugate the people under him with an army. Right? We don't find that about the Nesiim and Es Yisrael. We don't find that they had such power that they're able to punish people. We don't see that. When you see him, Romans never gave it to them. The Parthians did. The Reish Galusa was La Yasa Shevet Mehuda. You have the, you know, Reidin Es Yisrael B'Makel. They're able to subjugate the Jews in Babylonia with a stick. Mechaykik Mebein Raglov, that's the name of Shilhilel, Shemalam Din Ter Barabim. Almas, we see, Hani the Babel Adifi, Hoyel the Shevet Inun. In other words, the ones in Bavel, the Reish Galusa in Bavel was more powerful in a way than the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So we always tend to think the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael was this powerful person. He was, but not power, real power. Real power was the Reish Galusa. It was given to him by the government. Now the Denigmar says, number 7b, Uviyemi the Rebbe, Noch Nafshe the Rav Huna b'Bavel. Rav Huna died during Rebbe's lifetime. Umafash Rabban Bisham de Kalayim, Shoye Rebbe on the B'yaser. Rebbe was very humble. Whatever a person tells me to do, I'm ready to do it. But one thing I cannot do, I cannot give up my nesius to anybody. Just like Bnei Beseira gave up their nesius to my ancestors, to Hillel Azokain, and they stepped down, says Rebbe, that I cannot do. I cannot step down from the nesius. I can do anything that I cannot do. So the Gemara says, nevertheless, says Rebbe, but a solid Rav Huna Reish Galusa l'hocha, when Rav Huna, the Reish Galusa from Bavel, is going to come here, anu masvina le le'el minoy. I'm going to give up my throne, my nesius, for him. Why? Duhu mishevet Yehuda v'anam mishevet Binyamin. He's pure. He's pure blood. He goes all the way straight through to Yechonya Melech Yehuda. I'm not. I'm only from my mother's side, my father's side, and mishevet Binyamin. He's from Yehuda, from the male side, and not min dekatsa min dekuva. I'm only from the women's side. In other words, what was that?
That's impossible.
Why not?
Because he's direct descendant. Rebbe was direct descendant of Hillel.
And Hillel was direct descendant of Yehuda. Direct?
Yeah.
I don't think he was. Hillel Bavli was a ben achben of David Melech. Why? I don't know that. No, he said not. Nah, I'm only from the women's side. I'm from the women's side, and that's what Rebbe says in himself. I'm from the women's side.
How Akiva was having that argument, one of the reasons that they were looking for, who they were looking for, happened somewhere from Dar Melech.
Correct. Descendant of Melech, maybe not from direct, Ben Hamen, not
from the women.
From the women, that's what Rebbe says over here. Right. So clearly, he held the Reish Galusa in tremendously high esteem. Now, you know, we always tend to think the Exilarch, and when you learn later on about the Babylonians, the Exilarch was always, many times, did not see eye to eye with the Gadol Hador, right? With
they're always there.
The head. They were always there. But this is only later generations. In the earlier generations, the Reish Galusa, they were from the Gedolim themselves, right? For example, this time, it was Rav Huna himself. Then 7C says Rav Shira Goyin, after Rav Huna, means the time of Rebbe's death, which is right now when we're talking about, when Rav comes to Babel, who became the new XLR? This Mani Basar Rav Huna be Babel, who? Mar Ukva. You heard of Ukva? Mar Ukva? Mar Ukva. I was Mokva, he's not Amor. He was the XLR. He was the one in charge. He was the one, straight from Shevet Yehudah, the exilarch. V'havei badei Shmuel. And Shmuel lived in the time of Ma'ukva. Now, when we say Shmuel and Ma'ukva, Karavei Gassin, Avi Yosef, etc., etc., the one was learning with each other, etc., etc. In other words, Ma'ukva was the Reish Galusa in the time of this time period that we're talking about now. The famous Ma'ukva from the Gemara. Not only that, just to show you number 10, very quickly. What happened was, Rav, number 10, turn to number 10.
He even gives the names of the Reish Galusas.
All the way through, right? Yeah. All the way through Zerubbabel.
Right?
Reish Galusas. And we don't know that, but Reish Galusa was a real thing. And I mean, just to show you, number 8.
So they were bigger than the Rosh Hashiva.
They were bigger than Rosh Hashiva in power for sure, right? In prestige, it depends. There comes a time period.
It's like a chief rabbinate or not even?
The Reish Galusa was really a king. It was like a king. It was a king, but more than that, it hadn't been the earlier generations. The Reish Galusa was a gadol also. Mokra was a great gadol in his own right. But they had power like a king. Look at number 8. Hechidom, just to show you. Hechidom Yir Shal Yochid V'Nasa Shal Rabim. What's a private person city that becomes a, you know, an ear, a city of Rabim, Om Rav Yudah, going the scout of the Reish Galusa, like the fort. Or the palace of the Reish Galusa. In other words, they all gathered together. This was his royal court. The Reish Galusa had a Reish Galusa. Look at number 8a. They all gathered by him. The Hainu Reish Galusa. They gathered by the Reish Galusa. Little Rishus Ladun, because they needed permission to judge. Even though they had no smicha in Babel, but every rabbinical appointment was done by the Reish Galusa. So from a spiritual perspective, he's the one who had to put everything in charge. You didn't have such a thing in Babel like you have in Eretz Yisrael, where you have the two homes and you have the north and the south. The Reish Galusa was completely in charge. You wanted a paskin? You want to be a rav? Who appointed? The secular authorities. The Parthians, they pointed the Reish Galusa.
So this is almost, if I may, looking back like to the times of the Beit HaMikdash, where the Kohen Gadol was sometimes pushed in by the then...
Could be, absolutely.
So
therefore...
It went by blood.
Oh?
It went by blood. Right. The power was given to them by the outside forces. Of course it went by blood. Was it Ben just about? I mean, maybe not exactly.
It was a lineage?
Yeah. It was somewhat of a lineage, yeah. They all had to come from Malchus based on it.
And there was never any infighting about who's going to be next time?
Maybe later on, yes. But remember, in this time, you know, the big Gedolim, the learning centers, wasn't there. So who are you fighting with? What do you have over there? Right. Okay, who's going to be the king of the Jews? Right. It's the only little enclave. Right. Then it's the name. Whatever he was, you know. What was that? No, but he appoints the Dayanim. He appoints the Dayanim, he appoints the rabbis. Now that, look at number 8b. He had like his, you know, people that were his people, his, you know, his like revolutionary guard, Iraq has revolutionary, the army people.
Minions.
All the chachamim and the home of the Reish Galusa, they can't go out with their special clothing, which I have looking Rashi. What's Sabal Chazimi? They had like special insignias on their clothing to show that they are servants of the Reish Galusa. And these are the chachamim, rabbanim. So they had pretty strong power, the Reish Galusa. What was that?
Probably did,
but you remember, this is going back, they're there 400, 500, 600, 700 years, almost a direct lineage. So the Nisim, we all know about the Nisim and Eretz Yisrael, that's wonderful, that's great, but it's somewhat of an imitation of the Reish Galusa in Eretz Yisrael. But it just happens to be that the Sanhedrin and the Nasi, The reason why Eitzel is so much more powerful, because the Sanhedrin was in Eitzel. And therefore, since the Torah was in Eitzel, because the Sanhedrin was there, and the Beis HaMikdash was there, so the power of the Nasi for us, intents and purposes, is much more relevant.
They're not called Rav, they're just called Mar. Mar Ukva, Mar.
Correct. They're the Rish Kusa. Now, no. Correct. Now, by the way, just to show you on something else, number 10, the Gemara says, Rav, man Yeresh Galusa. When Rav comes back to Eretz to Bavel, so the Resh Galusa appoints him, Analgamus. Nagmus is somebody in charge, I think, of the weights, you know, to make sure everybody's doing the right weights and there's no cheating, like an executive, you know, police officer, somebody in charge of the weights.
Public advocate,
exactly. So something like that. So Rav, listen to number 10. Rav, man Yeresh Galusa. Remember, Rav was a gadol in his own right. Rav gets appointed by the Resh Galusa as an anagamus. Vade machi al mechilta v'loy al shiurei. So he was only makbid on the quality, maybe not on the quantity. He held only, it's my job only to be in charge of that there's no cheating on X and not on Y. So the Resh Galusa did not like that. Chafshe Resh Galusa. Resh Galusa took Rav and threw him into jail. So all Rav Kalna, who's Kalna? The Gemara quotes him. Karna lived in the time of Shmuel, of Shmuel's father. So Karna goes over to Leish Galusa and says, no, Rav is doing it all right. Amalayim, he tells him, Anagma Shamu Lemidois Veloli Shurim. It's not for the sizes, it's for the weight. It's one of the two, and therefore he's okay. So Nafik Amalayim, so Leish Galusa said, okay, Banash Betana Kavsha Da'ani Kavsha Leish, okay, let him go. But you see how much power he wields. If Rav, who's a Gola Adon in his own right, Tanu Bolik, he gets thrown into jail by the Resh Galusa. So maybe you can say the story happened before he went down to Eitzel, it was only the beginning of, I don't know. But clearly, the Resh Galusa is in charge. He's the exilarch. And by the way, if you understand the beginnings of the Resh Galusa, how the Resh Galusa comes all the way back to Zerubbabel, and he has this, you know, hundreds of years, 500-600 years of power vested in them, in the beginning, these times, Ukva, Ma'ukva, and Raguna, and all these things, it worked very well with the Chachamim. Later on, in 200 years from now, there's a discord between Chazal and the Resh Galusa. And they pay homage to the Resh Galusa because he's the king, but they're really not one of ours, right? We see that later on. But the reason why they still paid homage to him, because he was Resh Galusa. And he's coming from 600-700 years of lineage of a kingly power. Now, one second, there's one more Resh Galusa, I think in the year 500, 600, who declares independence from the Babylonian rulers, from whoever's in charge, the Sasanians, whoever's in charge. He declares independence. And for 15 years, he says, we have our own country. So the Resh Galusa was almost like a king, a very, very powerful position in Babylon. Now, again, remember, we're still talking before, you know, the main. Of course, you have Tamil Chamim, you have fine Jews there. But the centers of Torah did not yet move to Babel. Once that comes, that's when.
Didn't they also appoint the Chachamim who's in charge of the yeshivas? Didn't the Resh Galusa, yes.
They had an argument that
the Resh Galusa
appointed
somebody?
Correct.
Resh
Galusa was very powerful.
So he's also running.
I understand. We know he does. The Gemara says that they have to, Resh Galusa have to be appointed. You're going to be the Dayan. That's what Gemara says over here. Little Rishus. You have to ask permission, number 8a, Lodun Ulahate Bechayres V'lishmach. You have to have permission from Resh Galusa in order to paskin. To be an officially Rav, you have to be appointed by the Resh Galusa. So clearly, the Resh Galusa is a very, very powerful position, and it wasn't just when Chazal went there, or when the Torah was there, it was already an old position that's been there for hundreds of years. From the end of Chubba Vais
Rishon. It became really relevant until the Maharayim started.
Correct. Okay. I mean, it can become relevant to us to then, because otherwise it's just running the internal affairs. So what's the relevance to us? Right? And so that's where everything's happening. That's where the Nasi is, that's where the Sanhedrin is, that's where, well, that's obviously important for us. But once it starts shifting to Babel, then the Resh Galusa obviously becomes a more important position. But the Resh Galusa was an important position all along for all these years. That seems to be the way I understand it over here. Okay. One more thing about Babel, which Igmar said is quite in depth, discusses it, that the people in Babel considered themselves very elite. The Gemara says that when Ezra left Babel, right, remember, Ezra left Babel after Churban Bayis Rishon to go rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says he took with him all the direk, you know, all the garbage, basically, the Mamzerim, and the Nesimim, and all the Asara Yuchsin, Olam Ezra Mibavel. He took all the, you know, the good ones, the Kahanim, the Levim, the Mamzerim, the Shukim, the Nesimim, everybody, all the problematic Yichus, he took with him to Eretz Yisrael, and he left Bavel as a Soiless Nekia, as a pure thing. The reason why he did it is because I figured when I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to have the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, and Anshek Netzach Leila, we'll be able to sort out exactly who is what. If I leave Bavel with all the psulim, who knows what's going to happen over there? So I'm going to take all the psulim with me, and I'm leaving Bavel, Soiless Nekia. So therefore, over the years, the Babylonians consider themselves, we are the least, because we are the real Yachsamim. We had a real, you know, so much so, the Gemara says, number 5a. Umar Avidah Mishmul, Kol Arotzo is Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. That all the lands are like a dough compared to Eretz Yisrael. They're all mixed up. But Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael Babel. But compared to Babel, Eretz Yisrael is one big mixture. Why? Because Ezra took with him, yeah, he tried to sort out, but it's still not compared to the Yichus, which is Babel. So the Gemara says, Bimei Rebbe, Bikshu Lassus Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Time of Rebbe didn't want to say, you know what? We have much more. We have the real Yichus in Eretz Yisrael. So Amalem, so Rebbe says, Kaitim Etem Simni Bein Einai, what are you causing me thorns between my eye? I mean, you're causing me trouble? Retzentim, I can't deal with this. Yitapel Emachem, Rebbe Chinine Bachamu. Rebbe Chinine Bachamu is a Babylonian, he'll deal with you. Nitpel Emem, Rebbe Chinine Bachamu. Amalem, he said, Kachim Kram, Rebbe Shumav, Rebbe Yitzchum, Rebbe Shumaviv, Kol Asi Yisrael Yisrael, Ve'etzol Yisrael Bavel. Nothing to talk about. Whatever you want to say, it's not going to help you. And Bavel is much more pure. Now, if you look at number 6, even in Bavel itself, there were like different areas. You know, like, almost like we say, you know, and before the war, they used to have, the Jews used to have very, they were very sectionalized, right? You ever see, you speak to the old-time Jews, so the Galicians would say that the Hungarians are like this. And the publishers are a bunch of this. And the Litvaks, what was that?
Is it what you mean used to?
The New York Line Company in America doesn't exist.
Overlanders.
You know, but he used to say, I met a person once from Hungary, and he said, yeah, that in Budapest it was like a fence. Yeah. Two sides. And one side was like the Overlanders, and one side was like us, the Overlanders. But the Gemara says exact same thing in Babel. The Gemara like divides in Babel itself. Look at the Gemara number 6. Amar Rav Papa Savish made a Rav. Babel Bria. Babel itself, which is, by the way, the area between the Tigris and the Euphrates. This area over here, that's Babel. That's what's really called Babel. That's Bria. That's okay. Mishan, which is over here. Mishan, which is underneath Shushan, you know, the lower southern part underneath Madai, is Misa. That's pretty bad. The Yachsonim over there, they're pretty bad. They're dead. Madai, which is Media, which is Paras of Madai, which is on top by Iran, that's Chayla in between. Elam, which is on the bottom, Geiseses, you know, is on its way out. So Gemara says, Ma bin Chaylim le Geiseses, what's in between Chayla and Geiseses? Reif Chayla le Chaim, Reif Geiseses le Misa. So Gemara says, on 2 weeks, Babel, and he would try to say, Babel is, you know, they used to say, you ask people from Europe, they say, where are you from? I'm from the Grains. You ever heard people say? I'm from the border. You know, the border. Why the border? Eh, not quite Galicia, not quite here. You know, they always try to be on the other side. You may be says, until where's Babel? So Rav says, it's until this area. And until where is it? Until Baghdad. Baghdad is Baghdad. You know, that they're trying to exactly say, where is the pure part of this great Babel with all the Yachsonim? How high up is it? How down is it? So look at the last two lines. L'tachtis bediglot ad hecha. The last lines in number 6. How far down does it go? Amar Rav Shmuel, ad apamaya tato. Look at number 6 on the map. Apamaya tato, which is apamya, the lower part of apamya. That's the end of Babel. So Gemara says, talti apamaya havin. There are two apamaya. So Gemara says, yeah. Chada ilito v'chada tato. One is the upper apamaya and one is the lower apamaya. So Gemara says, Chaduk Sheira v'chaduk Psulu. Just like Budapest. Well, half of it is good, half of it is not good. Ube Chadu l'chadu Pasa is not far. There's a half a kilometer between one and the other. But because Kapi Adodi, people would not talk to each other from these places. Vafilu l'nura l'mushla Adodi. They wouldn't even lend each other a fire, a match. Because no, you are in the other side of the city. Yun tato, amanila. I'm the yachsen, you are not. Just like literally, I mean, thought of it, I said, oh my goodness. It's like I spoke to this Hungarian. So yeah, in Budapest, we had the Interlanders on this side of the river, but we were on the other side of the river. Literally like that, and that's the same mentality the people involved with felt very good about themselves. We are leaders, we are the yachsonim, we are, you know what I mean? That's that they felt, you know, that this was, you know, almost, it's scary. But, you know, like Jews in America say, oh, this is good, we have exiles, wonderful, it's good, we're in America, we have everything, I go visit, I go get buried over there. But it's not quite the same. It's still Chutzlaretz, and that's the same, almost the same, Havdol, of course, but the same feeling that they had in Babel. Now, the big city in Babel, no question about it, is the city of Nardal. Everything took place in Nardal. I think the Reish Galusas, even though one place says his city was Kafri, which is on the bottom, you see number 5, Kever Yecheskel. Don't forget, Yecheskel also died in Babel, right? Vani al Nahar Kvar. Nahar Kvar is right over there. And Nahar Pros, Nahar Kvar. These are all these canals, all these rivers in this area. So Kever Yecheskel is number 5. Kever Yechonya Melech, right below it. This is all part of Babel. But some say that Ba'utra lived in Kafri. Others say no. The main place we lived was Nardal. Nardal was a big city, even in the time of Josephus. Look at number 11. There was a city of Babylonia called Nirda. What's Nirda? That's Nardal. Not only a very populous one, but one that had a good and large territory about it, and besides its other advantages, full of men also. It was besides not easy to be sold by enemy from the river Euphrates and compassing it all around, and from the wells that were built about it. There's also the city of Nisibis on the same part of the river, for which reason to choose, depending on the natural strength of these places, deposited in them that half shekel, which everyone by custom of our country offers unto God, the machzis a shekel. From the whole Babel, where would they deposit the machzis shekel in the time of the Beis Hamikdash? They would put it in the city of Nardal. That was the Jewish town, the most populous, most strongest town. From the whole Babel, they'd gather it and put it over there. Presumably, that's where the XLR, the Reish Galusa, lived as well. And then they would go with 10,000 people, he says. And many 10,000 men undertook the carriage of those donations in order to bring it to Yerushalayim. So you had 50,000 men, many 10,000 men, that's at least 50, 60, 100,000 men would come along for the big trip to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to deposit a Machzis Shekel. Presumably it was probably the Kippur for Pesach already, to make the Korban Pesach, but clearly Nardal is the main city in Babel. Now that we have a Gemara that says like that, on number 12 on the sheet as well, that there's a whole question that you cannot have dogs in Eretz Yisrael unless you're on like in a border town, they need it for protection. So Gemara says you can do that in Babel as well, says Rashi, number 12, Sheim Amdina is Babel, Vir Achas, and there's one city, Shabon Nikros HaNardal. Voisei is Smuchel HaSeifer, and that city Nardal is on the border, makes sense, it's like on the edge of the Jewish population, on the western edge. There's many, it's like a real city and many Jews living there. In other words, Nardal almost has a concept of almost being part of Eretz Yisrael. So why am I saying all this? Now we know a little bit what Babel was all about. Nardal, that's the main place. Not only that, Nardal is the place where Shmuel comes from. Shmuel's father lives over there. The previous Reish, not Reish Galusa, but Reish Sidra, which is the Gal Adar in Babel, is Rav Shela. Rav Shela, he is in that time in Nardal. When Rav is going to come, next week we're going to learn about it, Rav is going to come, and he leaves, Eretz Yisrael, leaves Rabbeinu HaKadosh in the year 219, we know exactly when he left, 219, and Rebbe gives him smicha, he goes, the first place he goes to is to Nardal, and he sits by Rav Shela. And there's a whole discussion between him and Rav Shela, etc., etc. After Rav Shela dies, Rav goes, and he cannot open the yeshiva in Nardal because Shmuel is there. Shmuel's father was there. This was the place where all the Jews were there. And he's coming almost like a stranger because he learned in Eretz Yisrael and he learned by Rabbeinu Kaddish. He doesn't go to Nardal. He goes further south. Where does he go? No. He goes to Surah. Rav goes to Surah, which is number 4 in the sheet. Right. He goes down, and then these become the two big yeshivas, Surah and Nardal, for 200-300 years. After 300 years, Nador closes, and the new yeshiva becomes Pumbedisa, and then you have the two big yeshivas, Sura and Pumbedisa, and that goes on for 400-500 years until the time of the Goyim. But that's really, Nador is the place. That's where it all started. That's where the shul is, from Yechoniah Melech, Shalva Nador. That's where the seat of the exilarch is. That's where everything is taking place, and that's where Rav is going to come into this beautiful, like that's literally, you know, the capital of this Bavel, and it's fantastic Bavel. People are wealthy, and people have everything they need, and people feel good about themselves. They live long lives, and they give a lot of tzedakah, and they mechaber tamid chachamim, and even get buried in Eretz Yisrael, and they do all the right things. And in this flourishing community, that's where Nador, that's where everything's taking place, and that's where Rav is going to come. And we'll pick up from here next week to see how things develop in Bavel itself.
What's happening in Baghdad?
Baghdad was not a city at that time. Now it's called Baghdad. Maybe it was something over there. You see, I just showed you another map.
There was one.
It was, right? But Baghdad. There was actually something.
Yeah.
Yeah.